the Christian state of life, or sermons on the principal duties of Christians in general and different states in particular. But Father Francis, you know, translated from the original German edition of Cologne, 1740, by Father J. Allen. Copyright 1886. On the divine decree which has appointed a state and condition of life for each one, priest on the feast of the circumcision of our Lord, could also be priest on the feast of St. John the Evangelist, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb, St. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, introduction, so that Christ had his name before the 8 days were accomplished. Certainly, his name was preordained from all eternity by his heavenly Father, who decreed that he should be called Jesus in time. My dear brethren, we have many names in this world. One has a name of being rich, another being poor, one of being a master, another being a servant, one of being well, another of being sick, one of being joyful, another of being sad, one of being a religious, another of being a secular, one is a statesman, another a businessman, a third a workman. In a word, there are as many different names as there are conditions and states of life in the world. If I could compare them all with each other and see wherein they differ, I might, according to the general opinion, put an end to that which most frequently gives rise to complaints and discontent. For there are few who think their name good enough and who do not strive for a better one. I mean, there are few who are fully satisfied with their state of life and who do not find something therein to be displeased with and to complain of. And the reason of this is, in most cases, because people will not think nor acknowledge how and from whom they get their name or state of life. Today the custom is for one to wish the other a happy new year. I wish, therefore, to each and all of you from my heart that in which happiness consists, namely, perfect and constant contentment in your different states of life, and that my wish may not be an empty one and without fruit, I will now, and in another sermon also, show how each one can and must be content with his state, and that I will do by explaining this one truth, that, namely, before the creation of the world, God has so appointed for each one. It is God who, from all eternity, has preordained and appointed for each one the state of life with all its circumstances in which he now is, such as the basis of the first part. Therefore, each one must be fully satisfied in and with his state, no matter what it is, the conclusion of the second part. O all-wise, creator and redeemer of the world, grant us all, through the intercession of Mary and the holy angels guardian, the grace to acknowledge and understand the first, so that, as far as the second is concerned, we may be always fully satisfied with thy most holy will and decree. With regard to the first point, that God has preordained for every one the state of life in which he is, with all its circumstances, I do not think it will take long to prove it, for, as I hope, I have not now to deal with atheists and infidels, who, blinded by vice and of darkened understanding, and that they may more fully indulge in sin, maintain that there is no God, and, as some heathen philosophers taught, that the world was made by chance from a number of atoms, a folly that refutes itself, and that no sound reason could admit for a moment. Or, if they believe in God, they say that he reigns in heaven and does not concern himself about the affairs of mortals. Everything that happens is mere chance, depending on the changes of season, the run of luck, and the different dispositions and plans of men. No, I have to do with true Christians and true Catholic Christians who believe with me in the one eternal, true, living, infallible Word that has been interpreted by the Catholic Church, and who therefore adore God, who is present everywhere, and who is always working in each and every one of His creatures. That God who, as He created heaven and earth by one word, He spoke and they were made, so also He created the first man and all his posterity. That God who fixed their course for the sun and moon, and gave the stars their place in the firmament, who has placed bounds to the sea that it dare not pass, who has given a certain place, condition, movement, and operation in all inanimate things, who has fixed for rational creatures a certain time in which they should be created or born, in which they are to live and die, certain parents who are to give them birth, certain circumstances in which they must live, who has appointed the understanding they are to have in their soul, the size of their bodies, their outward appearance, strength, health, natural and supernatural gifts, temporal means, and everything else they have or are at every moment, one way today, another tomorrow. All these things God has preordained in His all-wise providence from all eternity. Now, not even the least thing happens in the world by chance, nor, as we are wont to say, by good or bad luck. Everything, sin alone excepted, happens with the knowledge and by the will and decree of God. Be assured, says St. Augustine, nothing happens that is not first either commanded or permitted in the invisible court of the Supreme Monarch. When we consider things merely according to the outward senses, for instance, the change of weather, which is sometimes warm and sometimes cold, or else it is raining, or snowing, or hailing, the flight of the birds, which soar aloft in different directions, the blossoming of trees, plants, and flowers, some of which are white, others yellow, while some are long and others short. When we consider these and countless other things that we see daily, we are like little children who hear the clock strike the different hours. They hear the noise it makes and think that it comes solely from the hammer which strikes the hours, because they know nothing of the works that are hidden inside the clock and regulate its movements. In the same way, too, we pay no attention to the beautiful machinery hidden in the divine nature, which ordains and arranges every visible thing, the smallest as well as the greatest in number, weight, and measure, as the prophet says. Not a hair falls from your head, says Jesus Christ, without the knowledge and will of your heavenly Father. Not a sparrow flies to the air without the divine decree. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father. One bird builds its nest in a tree, another elsewhere. A leaf is blown by the wind to a certain place at a certain time. A plant in the garden grows to a certain height. The rain, hail, and snow fall upon me as I am walking the streets. The flies torment or bite me. One of them happens to get into my hand, and I crush it to death. All these things and every other imaginable event happen with the knowledge, will, and decree of God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was made nothing. God is the only Father of this great household, who arranges, moves, and regulates all that happens in the whole world at all times. And He takes His great care and no less trouble with the smallest creature as with the greatest. The sacred scripture says, He made the little and the great, and He hath equally care of all. He is as much concerned for the poorest and most miserable child that begs its bread from door to door as for a great king who rules over men. It gives Him no more trouble to move and regulate the immense machinery of the heavens than to transport a grain of dust from one place to another. Nor is he less careful of an insect, a worm of the earth, as long as he pleases to leave it its natural life, than he is of keeping the whole earth in its proper place. St. Gregory says, God takes as much care of each thing as if he had nothing else to look after. Oh, my dear brethren, I must exclaim with St. Augustine, what a wise, powerful, and wonderful God we have! He who created the angels in heaven created also the worms of the earth. And I add, he who takes care of the angels is equally careful of a worm of the earth. Now, if it is true that God creates, provides for, and preserves even the smallest irrational and lifeless creatures in certain time, place, and circumstances, how much more is it not true of reasoning beings, for whose sake he has made all other things in heaven and earth, that they might be the servants of man and help him to attain his last end? For whose sake the eternal Son of God came down from his throne, was made man, and gave up his own life blood, that man, whom he created, might rejoice with him for all eternity. Such is the teaching of our Lord himself in the Gospel of St. Matthew. He tells his disciples to consider the care he takes of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Behold, the birds are there, for they neither sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They labor not, neither do they spin. But I say to you, that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was arrayed as one of these. Are not you of much more value than they? I know what conclusion I must draw, O Lord. If thou art so careful of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, thou wilt also take care of me. If thou hast from all eternity fixed for each thing its certain place, time, measure, condition, and nature or mode of life, much more hast thou done so for me and for every human being. That this is the case, I am assured by St. Paul from the words of our Lord himself. For that apostle, writing to the Corinthians, and advising people of all conditions as to their conduct, husbands, wives, widows, unmarried people, and servants, says to them, I would that all men were even as myself, but that cannot be. Every one hath his proper gift from God, one after this manner, and another after that. As the Lord hath distributed to every one, as God hath called every one, so let him walk. Let every man, wherein he was called, therein abide with God. Mark, my dear brethren, how the apostle often repeats the same thing, in order to impress deeply on our minds the great truth, that it is God who appoints for each one his state of life, with all its circumstances. As the Lord hath distributed to every one. Just as he who has the direction of a theater gives to each of the actors his proper part according to what he knows of each one's skill and cleverness, nor does any one of them receive the same dress, nor have they all to say the same words or to do the same things, but every one must act in the character assigned to him as required. Or, just as a painter who is about to paint some great historical subject does not make all the persons whom he represents on the canvas of the same size, position, and stature, for if he did so, his picture would be a mere dub, but he paints them but he paints some of them full-sized while he puts others in the background. One sits on a throne, another stands in a humble posture like an attendant, a third is on horseback, a fourth is on foot, a fifth laughs, a sixth weeps, a seventh looks up to heaven, an eighth folds his hands and looks down on the ground. Each one is portrayed in the attitude that suits the subject of the painting, and the skill of the artist consists in making them all in due proportion, whether they are to be large or small, dark or light, cheerful or sorrowful. In the same way, says St. Paul, the great artist of the universe has arranged the different creatures on earth with the greatest prudence and wisdom, and placing men in so many different conditions. Everyone hath his proper gift from God, one after this manner and another after that. That one person should be a strong man, another a weak woman, one a sovereign, another a subject, one a master, another a servant, one of high, another of low descent, one a religious, another in the world, and married to such and such a person, one a soldier, another a merchant, one a tradesman engaged in a particular business, one rich, another moderately well off, a third in absolute poverty, one always healthy, another always sickly, one always happy and prosperous, another always in sorrow and distress, one prudent and clever, another simple and stupid. All these and the other different circumstances in which men live are, as it were, the characters that the supreme master of the theater of life has distributed to different individuals, as the Lord hath distributed to every one. From all this, the Apostle draws the evident and undeniable conclusion that everyone must be contented and satisfied with the divine decree, and in according to his state of life, that everyone wherein he was called therein abide with God. Wast thou called, being a bondman? Care not for it. Care for nothing but to act that part well, because God has called you to it. No matter who, what, or where you are, remember that you are as God has decreed and wished you to be. This thought alone should and must suffice to make you satisfied with your state. Such is the conclusion drawn by St. Paul, as we shall see in the second part. As long as I am under the authority of another, who has the right to do as he pleases with me and mine, and from whose authority I cannot escape, even if I wished, prudence requires that at least I should be patient and allow him to govern me as he likes. For what would be the use of murmuring against him or trying to resist his authority? I could not change my position for the better, but would rather make it more difficult and more irksome. Is not that so, my dear brethren? But now, suppose I am sure that my master is far wiser and more prudent than I, and that he knows best what is beneficial or injurious to me. If, moreover, I am certain that he is well inclined towards me, and that he will not lay any command on me that is not just and right and for my own good, then not only would I act with great imprudence by complaining of his commands, but the mere thought of what he is should fill me with contentment, joy, and consolation in doing everything he tells me. Is not that true also? Now, as we have seen already, it is God who, from all eternity, has preordained and decreed for me the state of life in which I live, with all its circumstances. This state may be pleasing or displeasing to me. It may suit my inclination or not. But have I any reason for being discontented with it? What would be the use of that? Is not God the same unchangeable Lord he always was, with whom to will is the same as to accomplish? As the prophet David says, he hath done all things whatsoever he would in heaven and on earth. He still orders everything as he wills in heaven and on earth, nor is he apt to change his will or invert his order on my account. if he had no other object in all his decrees, but such is my will, who could say anything against him? Run your head against a stone wall that stands in your way, and see if the wall will give way to you. It is God who has appointed for me my state of life. Must I, then, murmur or complain if that state is a lowly one? He is the Lord who has given me gratuitously and out of pure generosity all that I have. He could have given me much less and have placed me in a much lower state. The proverb tells us not to look a gift horse in the mouth. It is God who has given me my state. Have I then any reason to say to him, why hast thou made me thus? Is he not the Lord of infinite wisdom, who does everything for the weightiest reason, so that to his eternal praise be it said, he hath done all things well? It is God who has given me my estate. Can I hope or wish or desire to be anything better than I now am and than God wishes me to be? Should I not rather be greatly pleased and rejoiced with my state? Is he not the Lord who calls himself my Father, who assures me that he has written me down in his hands, who is so much concerned with me and my welfare that he did not spare his only begotten, eternal Son, but delivered him up for my sake to a most disgraceful death, and who knows most exactly and has known from all eternity and foreseen what is best for me and my soul? All this is quite enough to convince me that there is in the whole world no better place or state for me than that in which I now am, according to his most wise and beneficent decrees, and that I ought to allow him to deal with me in future as he pleases. How inconsistent, foolish, and wicked, therefore, are the complaints of those who are not content either with God or with themselves in their state of life. In order to understand this all the more clearly, we shall again have recourse for a short time to the similes used before. Suppose, my dear brethren, on the stage of a theater, one who has to represent a peasant or a beggar begins to murmur against the manager and to say, why have I to be been selected for this mean part? See that another actor decked out with crown and scepter and clad in purple and gold, while I must put on a ragged coat and an old battered hat. He is almost always on the stage and attracts everyone's attention, but I am not allowed to appear more than once or twice. Is he any better than I? Have we not made the same studies in the same school? Why can I not, then, represent the king as well as he? What would you think of such complaints, my dear brethren? Would they show good sense? If it was a child who made them, they might be excusable on account of simplicity or ignorance. What, the manager would say, do you want to upset the whole piece? What have you to complain of? You must act the part that is given to you, and if you do it well, the audience will praise you as much as the others, and more, too, if the others do not perform their parts as they ought. If you are not satisfied, you must leave the stage and not have anything to do with the piece. We can imagine the same thing with the painting. Suppose that the picture had life and could speak, and that the figures of the man that is painted in the background, very small, with only the head visible and almost hidden in dark colors, were to get discontented and to quarrel with the other figures of the picture, saying, I have been long enough in that dark corner. Why is another figure so large? I am made of the same colors. I wish to come forward, too, and to show that I am not so small and mean as I have hitherto appeared. You poor fool, the painter would say, what business have you to destroy my work? You must thank my skill and labor for the position you occupy, That is one required by the rules of art. Do not ask me why, but keep quiet in the place in which I have put you. Otherwise, I will make short work of you, for I have only to make my brush and destroy you altogether. There would soon be an end to all murmurings and complaints if everyone knew his master and creator and were content with the place and state allotted to him. My dear brethren, what I represented to you by these two similes really occurs amongst us mortals every day on the great stage of life and the great picture of the world. The characters, as I said before, are distributed by God. The figures are placed by him in the picture, with as many differences and distinctions as there are different states in life. The Lord has done all according to the rules of art. He hath done all things well. But it is a great mistake of our corrupt nature that we refuse to acknowledge the act. The majority of us cannot suit ourselves to it. There is hardly one in 100 who is quite satisfied with his state and with his accidental circumstances. One wants this, another that. One thinks his state too lowly and despicable, another thinks his too poor. A third complains of having too much care and trouble. A fourth of having too much sorrow and suffering. There is no end of murmurs and complaints. Nearly everyone wishes to be better off than he is. If we only think how it is with most people in the world, we shall find that even they who make profession of serving God and leading a Christian life, if they meet with any contradiction or disappointment, find fault at once with their estate, as if it were to blame. Would that I had become a priest, says one, who groans under the trouble and care of bringing up little children and providing for them. If I had known what was in store for me, I would not have entered this state. I wish I had remained in the world, thinks the discontented religious. I could have supported myself and served God as well. Oh, why did God buy me to the drunken, ill-tempered, and good-for-nothing husband, cries a discontented wife. Why am I tied to that useless and wicked woman, thinks an unhappy husband. And both are to blame, for they are always quarreling with each other. I wish I had never seen that man, that I had never set eyes on that person. Such are the complaints of masters against their servants, of servants against their masters, of inferiors against their superiors. Oh, would that I were an angel, sighs the pious man when he is annoyed by temptations. Would that I had died in my cradle, thinks another. I would not be in such danger of losing my soul. Would that my parents had allowed me to study, says the tradesman when he is tried with work. I could manage the pen much easier than the hammer. He who has little to do complains of his enforced idleness. He who is kept very busy complains that he can neither eat nor sleep quietly. Those who are small wish to be great. The young despair to appear older, the old to be younger. Those who are small wish to be great. The young desire to appear older, the old to be younger. We need not speak of the oppressed and sorrowful. Their inordinate and impatient souls shows clearly enough that they are not contented with their estate. Why has that misfortune happened to me? They ask. Why has God inflicted me with the untimely death of my father, mother, son, daughter, wife? Why am I poor and without bread to eat, while others have more than they want? Why am I weak, ailing and sickly, while so many wicked people are strong and healthy? Why must I earn my bread in the sweat of my brow, where others can live in idleness? Why am I despised and looked upon, down upon, while others enjoy honor and prosperity? Are we not all made of the same earth, and do we not all come from the same father, Adam? O God of goodness, what a number of complaints I hear against thee! I thought that thy infinite wisdom decreed nothing but what is just and holy and good and right and in proper order. Yet, if I am to believe the judgments of men, everything seems to be in confusion and disorder amongst them, and nobody is in his right place. O Supreme Monarch, thou hast done all things well in heaven and on earth, and there is hardly one man whom thou canst please. Thou hast made the sun, moon, stars, and other heavenly bodies, and placed them in proper order. Thou hast given the winds their velocity, the elements their proper qualities, and none can find fault with what thou hast done. Men alone are not as they ought to be, and if we believe their complaints, thou hast not dealt with them fairly and justly. So that thou, O God of infinite wisdom, who cannot err nor be deceived in anything, hast made a great mistake in the creation, preservation, government, and direction of man. We must either admit this, my dear brethren, or confess that we are laboring under a grievous mistake, and that we are guilty of the greatest folly and injustice when we murmur or complain. The first cannot be the case, therefore the second must be the undoubted truth. O poor mortal, worm of the earth, who are you who dare to contradict the decree of the Almighty? Such is a question that the Lord asked his servant Job. Wilt thou make void my judgment, and subvert my decrees, and condemn me, that thou mayest be justified? Remain in thy appointed place, and complain not of the order I establish, or else I have only to withdraw my hand from thee, and thou shalt fall into nothingness. What art thou, where, and how thou art, from whom hast thou all that is not from me? If I have given thee less than others, I have not done thee wrong thereby, because I am not bound to give thee anything. If I deprive thee of father, mother, children, friends, and relatives by death, if I take away thy money and property by losses and misfortune, thy health and strength by sickness, thy comfort and joy by sorrows and trials, I take from thee nothing that belongs to thee, nothing but what was mine already. Friend, I do thee no wrong. Take what is thine and go thy way. Take what I wish to give thee and go and use it according to my will. Is it not enough for thee that I have created thee to my own image, that thou mayest be happy with me for all eternity, and that I may give myself to thee forever, while I have left so many millions of men whom I might have created in their original nothingness? If thou dost not look upon this as a benefit, I have at least done thee no wrong, and therefore thou hast no cause for complaint. Therefore, O man, remain as you are, and be satisfied with what the Lord has given you. If you are enough for God, says St. Cyprian, let God be enough for you. So it is, O great God, my sovereign ruler, I must say with the prophet Job, what can I answer who have spoken inconsiderately and complained hitherto without cause? I will lay my hand upon my mouth and keep silence. I will be contented with thee and with myself in all humility. And meanwhile, I return thee heartfelt thanks, O eternal God, for having created and preserved me as I am, for having given me this time, place, state, employment, and other circumstances in which I live. I desire to be nothing less, nor greater, nor better than what I now am, according to thy will. Thou knowest why thou wishest me to be so, and not otherwise. It is not for me to inquire the cause thereof. My duty is to receive, like a poor mendicant, the alms thou givest me, be they great or small, for I know that, as the prophet says, thou art just, O Lord, and thy judgment is right. Dost thou wish me to live henceforward in a different way? Then I am in thy hands. Do with me as thou wilt. Thou wilt find me as thou wishest me to be. Amidst all the accidents, sorrows, and troubles of life, I shall keep my mind at rest and console myself with the thought that thou, O God of infinite wisdom, hast so decreed for me. Even if I did not know that it is for my greater good, I am at least certain that it is in according with thy will, and that it cannot be better than thou wishest it to be. It is for thee, O Lord, to appoint a state of life for me. It is for me to fulfill the duties of that state so as to please thee. And this I will always try to do henceforth with thy grace, as long as thou art pleased to leave me on this earth. In all other things, O Lord, thy will be done. Let that be our conclusion. Amen.